Blog Talk Radio.
Go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Memo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, man. Doing good. How's it going?
I'm doing good. I hope you like that tribute. Played the Yankees theme song and the Power Rangers theme song.
Oh, yeah.
I know you like both, so.
Orgasm.
Well, okay, then I should have played it then, in that case. But in any case, other than that, good to have you on the show.
Good to be here, as usual.
And good to have you, ladies and gentlemen, check out, this latest episode of Sports Urban Legend. On this show, we talk sports, entertainment, and everything else. And we're happy to have you. On today's show, we're going to talk, the Yankees' hot start, lately. Obviously, today's game standing, as the Yankees, 6-game losing streak got snapped. We're also going to talk about the Rangers as they forced game 7, which they'll play tomorrow night at the Garden. A must-watch game right there. Talk about the NBA playoffs, wrestling, everything that's in the world of sports. And, yes, even my Metsies, who, as I'm listening to the intro of this show, gives up a home run to Jesse Winker, the Met killer. We'll get into that momentarily. But, most importantly, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to talk about any of these topics that I just mentioned and more, feel free to call us at 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. But with that said, man, let's talk about this big Ranger win that they had, a few days ago. And basically they forced game 7. They were down 3-1. They won these last two games, highlighted by the hat trick by Zibanejad in the game 6. After they were trailing, in the series, and they scored two late goals to ice the game, and now that the Rangers are one win away from advancing into the second round. So, Mac, what's your thoughts about the Rangers' resiliency in this first round of the playoffs against the Penguins?
Yeah, that game 5 was crazy. They were down, I think, 3-1 in that game. Then they came back, scored two goals. And then the Penguins came back, scored a goal, and then Rangers scored another goal, and then it was back and forth. I think there were like four goals scored within several minutes or so. Some crazy stat. But, that game 5 was crazy. And then yesterday they come back and win that game, and they tie the series up. And now game 7, elimination game, do or die. And they've had some great series with the Penguins over the last 20 years. In the playoffs. So it's going to be another great one.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a do or die, win or go home, or in the Rangers' case, win or stay home. And, they're going to need to defend home field advantage, home ice. Sid the Kid missed the game 6. He's expected to come back tomorrow night, and they're gonna need some scoring from Kreider and Zibanejad to get this win. So we'll see what happens. Game 7. Anytime you say game 7s in a playoff game, that you got a classic, and then nothing, just a little icing on the cake. It's going to be at the Garden, the world's most famous arena, which haven't had a lot of game 7s lately, for either team, especially for the team, the Knicks, you know. So definitely got a classic coming up tomorrow. So hopefully the Rangers can defend home ice and advance. So we'll definitely see what happens and build upon that 5-3 victory that they had, you know, from yesterday night.
Yeah, definitely going to be a great game.
So, shifting gears, let's talk about your boy Yankees. You know, Yankees, they after they won, 11 straight in a row, you know, obviously they had a snap. And then, shortly afterwards, they went on this current six-game winning streak. And then, of course, they lost when Luis Robert got a walk-off hit off your closer, Aroldis Chapman, in the bottom of the ninth. And, Yankees are going to try to, you know, see if they can, you know, win the last game tomorrow night. What's your thoughts on the Yankees? Not to mention Stanton and Judge have been, producing. They've been hitting bombs. Like, the last couple of games, it went back-to-back both games, these last games. So, what's your thoughts on, you know, the Yankees and...
Well, the offense has picked up the last several games, especially in the Chicago series. Them hitting home runs all over the place. I mean, Stanton and Judge, as you mentioned, they've been killing it so far. They're looking like Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what us fans, dreamed of when we first got Stanton, that him and Judge, you know, they would be intimidating forces in this Yankee lineup, and they're starting to look like that here in this season. But I think right now the Yankees, you know, the pitching has been great so far this year. Defense has been very good, although they've made some errors in the past few games. And I think this team can only get better, you know, as the season goes along. I mean, yes, they lost tonight, but they did win the two previous games against the Chicago team, and final game is tomorrow, so they can win that to take the series. But they still have the best record in baseball right now, and they're playing like the best team in baseball. Like, they can't be beat. I mean, this might be a special season because, you know, anytime they've won 20 games – in their first 30-plus games, they usually go to the World Series. So this might be another year where they might make it to the big stage. We shall see.
Yeah, we definitely shall see because, this Yankee team is finally playing the way that you expect them to play, you know, especially Judge and Stanton. Like you said, you know, we envision those guys going – back to back and belly to belly every single game, you know. So now they're definitely gelling. I think Judge hit eight home runs in the last, I think it was 13 games I saw.
Yeah,
recently.
He's the league in home runs right now, 12 or 13, something like that.
So, you know, probably the Yankees, they'll look to win the series overall and, you know, keep their momentum going. And then shifting gears on the Mets, you know, they've been a winning series, best team in the National League right now. Is that a home run?
Say it again?
Oh, that's a foul ball.
What was that?
Like I was saying, the Mets, they had a 4-1 lead. And then the Met killer, like I mentioned earlier on the show, Jesse Winker, he tied the game up with a 3-run home run. And, so the game was tied 4-4. And, about maybe a minute ago, Patrick Mazika, You know, basically he's been like a third string catcher for the Mets. They just call him up, you know, because James McCann, their starting catcher, he broke a bone in his hand, and he's going to be gone for 6 weeks. So they called him up, and yeah, he hit his first home run of the year. Gives the Mets the lead 5-4 right now. Mets are still batting in the seventh. One out in the seventh. Mets are leading 5-4. Mets are trying to win this game so they could even up the series and hopefully win the rubber game so they could extend their winning winning series streak intact. Because I think they've won eight series in a, they won 8 or 9 series, and they've only tied the split the series with the Braves. So the Mets have been so far been unbeaten in series this year, which, you know, they're on an unprecedented run right now. But they got to win this game so that that potential streak could be, you know, there, because they lost a winnable game last night. They had Scherzer versus Marco Gonzalez, and they had him on the ropes, but they could never, they had a narrow 1-0 lead. They could never, you know, pile on runs, and the guy went unable to go, 6 innings or so with one run. And then, Scherzer gave up the run, and then Drew Smith gave up his first run as a Met this year. That proved to be the game winner, because Paul Sewald, the former Met, got his revenge, you know, keeping the Mets scoreless, and got the W, and the Mets end up losing by the final score of 2-1. They had balls hit to the warning track by Alonso and McNeil. I guess the same thing happened today too with McNeil also. They hit balls to the warning track that they really got a hold of the ball. They made perfect contact with the ball, but the wind knocked it down, you know, which normally doesn't happen, especially for a guy like Alonso. He hits a ball, you know, it's going a long way, you know. And as I'm speaking, Alonso's coming to the plate right now. He's 1-for-2, but you know, the Mets, they gotta win this game so that they could, you know, again keep this series streak intact. Yeah, another thing is the storyline, the behind the scenes storyline is Diaz is looking to get his first save against his former team, the Mariners. This is the Mariners' first appearance at Citi Field. The last time they appeared in Citi Field was, in Queens against the Mets was in, I think, 2008, against the Mets in their final year at Shea Stadium. So, oh boy, Alonso just struck out to end the inning. So now it's top of the eight coming up. But yeah, so Kalenic, the guy who got traded in the Cano and Diaz trade, he got sent down hours before the game started on Friday night. Yeah, he's been like 200. He's been like 1-something. I don't even remember that number. So he got sent down. Cano, he got released by the – he got designated for assignment by the Mets last week. And he's expected to sign with the Padres if he hasn't signed yet already. But he's if it's not official yet, he's very close to signing with the Padres. There was rumors that the Orioles was going to sign him, but looks like he made the smarter deal, you know, move to sign with the Padres, up, you know, a team that's, you know, obviously postseason ready. What was I going to say? So, yeah. So basically, Diaz is going to try to save against his former team if the Mets can hold on to this lead, this narrow lead as they go to the eighth, and we'll see what happens with the Mets. Any thoughts on the Mets so far this year?
Well, they're playing real well right now. You know, they've been the best team in the National League so far. So hopefully they can keep it up. Yeah, everything has worked out for them. Pitching has been very good. They've had clutch hitting with the offense, several comebacks, especially against the Phillies. Yeah, looking like the team to beat in National League, although Dodgers right now are starting to catch up a bit, as well as I think was it the Padres or the Giants? One of those two teams is looking good in the National League West as well right now.
Yeah, I hear you. The Mets got to keep it going, you know. They've had some, you know, some major injuries, like with DeGrom. Didn't start the whole year. They got this injury with McCann. Obviously, he wasn't hitting, but, you know, he provided great defense for the pitching staff. So he's definitely going to be missed there. So we'll see what happens with the Mets and the, you know, as they get closer to the deadline in a few months. So we'll definitely see what happens with that. Moving on, NBA. You got the Warriors. They defeated the Grizzlies. They won the series four out of they won the series in six games. The Warriors won game six by the final score of 110-96. And they are going to wait for the winner of the Mavericks-Suns, series. As, they're going to play a pivotal Game 7 tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Who you think will advance to face the Warriors?
I think it'll be the Suns. The Suns have been the best team in the Western Conference all year. I think they are more experienced, and I think they'll move on to face the Warriors. So I'm going with the Suns.
Yeah, man, I can't argue with you there. For sure, the Suns are the defending Western Conference champions, and we're gonna see the Warriors duke it out with the Suns. Steph Curry scored 29 points to go along with 7 rebounds, 5 assists. Wiggins got a double-double with 18 points, 11 rebounds. Klay Thompson, he led the way with 30 points and 8 rebounds. And basically they're going to keep that momentum going when they face the Suns after tomorrow night. And for the Grizzlies, Dylan Brooks, he scored 30 points. And Desmond Bane scored 25 points in a losing effort for Memphis, especially with Ja Morant out. So now their offseason is going to begin. Tyus Jones, the backup guard for Morant, he is expected to be a free agent. Knicks are interested in him, along with the Jalen Brunson, who's been playing well in the playoffs. But I don't think they're going to get Brunson from the Mavericks. But what I hope they don't do, I hope they don't overspend for a player, like Jones or somebody like that. They need somebody who's proven. So hopefully they won't go that route and overspend for average players.
Yeah, I hope so too. But it would be nice to get a guy like Donovan Mitchell, if we can try to trade for him somehow. Love to bring him back to New York, because he is a New York City kid, so love to bring him here and play on the Knicks.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. As long as you don't give up Barrett and hopefully not Toppin and Quickly, I'm open for that. But, Barrett is 100% untouchable. in my opinion.
Yeah.
So we'll see what they're gonna do. Yeah, so basically Ayton, he scored 21 points with 11 rebounds. Booker averaged 19-8 in a losing effort for the Suns. And they're going to need to bounce back so that they could win this series in advance to back-to-back, Western Conference Finals. And, Bullock, our former player, he had 19 points. Doncic, he scored 33 points with 11 rebounds. And then Brunson had 18 points. So, they're definitely going to, need to continue that. They're going to have to take their production to, up that scoring a little bit more to solidify their chances of advancing against, to face the Warriors. But we'll see what happens. And then on the Western Conference side, you have the Heat defeating and eliminating the 76ers by the final score of 99-90. So the Heat, they await the winner of the Bucks and Celtics series. And that series is also going to go down. That Game 7 is going to be tomorrow afternoon at 3:30. So, yeah, that's going to be a classic series. That should be a classic game right there. So, yeah, we got some Game 7s here going on here. We got the Ranger game. We got the Celtics. Mavericks.
Bucks, yeah.
Versus Suns. Yeah, this is going to be a crazy, crazy Game 7 day right here.
Yeah.
Man, if you're watching all those games, you ain't going to have another time to do anything.
For real.
My goodness. Yeah, and then there's the Stars and Dallas Stars versus Calgary Flames who are playing tomorrow night at 9:30 also.
That's a game 7?
Hockey. Yeah.
Wow.
This is game 7 day.
Wow.
Kings and Orioles are playing right now as we speak right now. But yeah, we got like two game 7s in hockey and two game 7s in NBA. That's right. That's insane.
Yeah. That's an epic Sunday right there.
Yeah. Game 7 Sunday. Hashtag game 7 Sunday, man. So yeah, big day in sports tomorrow. All right, so, yeah, as we speak right now, let's see. Lindor fields it, throws to first in time out of Vino, your former Yankee. He got Frazier to ground out to Lindor for the final out. So the Mets have secured the 5-4 lead, bottom eight coming up, and then the plot will thicken if the Mets cannot add more runs. Diaz will be facing his former team for the first time ever. So stay tuned for that, folks. I'll let you know what goes on and when that happens. I would assume in a few minutes from now. But yeah, I guess we shall shift gears to WrestleMania Backlash. So did you see WrestleMania Backlash?
I had it on the background, but I didn't really watch it like that.
Wait, hold on a second. You mean to tell me you're a huge WWE fan and you didn't watch WrestleMania Backlash?
I mean, it was there in the background, but,
Dude, you missed this awesome wrestling event? Dude, man, I'm speechless about how awesome it was, man. Like, yo.
Was it?
I didn't watch that, not even one second. Watch 1 second of this moment. I'll be honest. I was saying last week, I'm not even sure if I'm going to watch it. Like, and sure enough, I didn't. Like, basically, everything basically turned out the way I thought it would. You know, Cody Rhodes defeated Seth freaking Rollins. Omos defeated Bobby Lashley. Edge defeated AJ Styles. I think we thought AJ Styles would finally win that one. I think that's the only problem.
Yeah, I thought he would win.
Yeah, I think that's probably the only match we thought that we probably got wrong. I mean, as I'm going through it, I didn't look through it overall, but I'm assuming. Ronda Rousey, she finally defeated Charlotte. I Quit match to become the new SmackDown Women's Champion. Madcap Moss defeated Corbin. Yeah, I guess we got that one wrong. I guess I was kind of wishy-washy on that one because I was like, Madcap Moss should win, but WWE wants to, you know, always like to make Corbin win to you know, make the fans PO'd, as evident as Kurt Angle's final match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I thought Corbin was going to win that match. Luckily, he didn't. And then last but not least, you got the Bloodline. And, you know, of course, that's Roman Reigns, the unified WWE champion, versus Drew McIntyre and the RK-Bro. And, you know, I think it's coming up next week that, you know, they're finally going to have the tag team unification match that they should have had at Backlash. Or to be more realistic, to be more honest, WrestleMania, that should have been a match that should have happened at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
We're going to finally have that match. I'm trying to think. What other I'm trying to remember what else happened on WWE this week. The funniest moment I could think of happening was when Ken Owens made his WWE debut. I don't know if you saw that segment.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I mean, what's his name? Owens, man. Kevin Owens, man. He's the MVP of this whole storyline. Like, I had literally no interest in this Ezekiel/Elias storyline. You know what I mean? But Kevin Owens is, you know, his reaction and him trying to discover the mystery of if Elias is Ezekiel's really Elias. I mean, it's hilarious.
He's obsessed.
Yeah, he is. And then to the point he dressed up as his brother Ken Owens, and then he revealed to the whole world that it was really him in disguise. Like he's really carrying that storyline. And you know, hey, you know, honorable mention to Chad Gable. And I guess to an extent, Ezekiel too, you know, he's also part of the whole equation. But yeah, man, this better pay off with him revealing eventually that he's Elias and they go back to the gimmick, you know, because it's going to be pointless if he's always going to be Ezekiel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't think he's going to be going back to Elias. I think he's going to be Ezekiel going forward.
Yeah, but it's going to be make no point. 5 years from now, Kevin Owens is still doing the Ezekiel Elias storyline. There has to be a payoff somehow.
I think they're going to eventually kill that, you know. He's probably going to reveal soon that he was Ezekiel
Elias.
I should say. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's going to be tough for him to grow a beard. And a goatee.
Yeah.
That big, you know. So, yeah, I guess they're just going to have to fess up, you know, eventually, I would assume. But then again, there's so many storylines that they never revealed, have a finish to it. So, who knows?
Yeah.
But, yeah, let me see. What else? Trying to know what else happened. Trying to think. Anything else happened in WWE that I could think of? I can't think of anything right now.
Randy Orton, the RK Bro. Didn't they fight last night? Or was that on Monday?
I think they fought both on Monday. I think they did fight because Sami Zayn, you know.
Oh yeah, Sami Zayn, right.
Spoke for them, and then you know it turned into a match. You know. So they're gonna have the unification match for the tag team titles. Who you think is gonna win that?
Wait, repeat that again.
And I said next week they're gonna have the unification tag team title match.
What's gonna be the match? That's gonna be the RK Bro against Usos. Wow. I could see it ending up being like one of those draw type matches where just double disqualification or something like that.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I don't think those sides are gonna be unified.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I don't think they're gonna have that match when this could be a pay per view match. Yeah, I don't see them having a resolution because it's not a no disqualification match. So. There's definitely going to be something screwy with this match. They're definitely going to have a DQ kind of finish with Roman Reigns interfering or something. So yeah, that's basically what's going to definitely happen for sure. What was I gonna say? Yeah, I think that's basically about it that I could think of on WWE side. On AEW, Rampage was on Long Island, which is MJF's hometown, and he was a baby face, and you know they're continuing the feud with Wardlow. But before I get to that, right now Diaz is getting trying to get the save against his former team. He's up 0-2 right now as we speak, and he's facing JP Crawford. You know, Diaz is trying to lock down this save. He's been great so far with the Mets. Only have one blown save, and he missed a pitch right here. I think it was a slider. So he's up 1-2 as we speak. But Diaz, man, we need this win. Like I said, or else that this win streak is going to be over. And he struck him out. Swinging, got the first out right there. One down, hopefully two more to go for Diaz. But MJF, man, he's a heel, but when he's in Long Island, he's a babyface all of a sudden.
That's so his hometown.
They love him there. You know, it was a funny segment. I mean, if they have it online, I would definitely recommend you check it out. So basically he's gonna face Wardlow, who was basically like his enforcer, and if Wardlow defeats Sean Spears, who formerly known as Ty Dillinger in WWE. Oh yeah, and MJF is going to be a special guest referee. I think it's gonna be in a steel cage if I'm not mistaken. Then Wardlow would win his freedom, and he would be, he'd be able to wrestle freely and not be forced to be MJF's enforcer anymore. Because once he turned babyface, MJF has punished him since he has rights to his contract. You know, at first he banned him from the arenas, and then now he's, for the past couple of weeks, he's been forcing him to to fight people, in like gauntlet type matches, kind of like what he did with CM Punk when he had the feud with CM Punk a few months ago. So yeah, so that's going to be an interesting matchup between both of those guys. They're going to have an upcoming Double or Nothing match where Wardlow will try to fight for his independence, and he strikes out. Diaz strikes out. Trying to see who was it? That was kind of quick. Threw a fastball right past him for the second out. And now the Met Killer. Oh boy, here we go again. Jesse Winker. This dude has been a thorn on the Met side since, I think it was what, 2019. There was a ball he caught. It was like a routine ball. He caught the ball, and then he faked that he was going to throw the ball to the fans, but instead he kept it in his pocket and waved bye-bye to the fans as he walked off. And ever since then, he's been booed by the Mets fans. So the first pitch is a called strike. All right. He's 2-for-3. He hit the game-tying home run the seventh inning against Shreve, the former Yankee. And we have a bunch of former Yankee relievers now that I think about it. Diaz is going to try to get this final save against his former team. And the second pitch right now is a ball, so the count's even 1-1. And, he got to shut this guy down. Winker, man, this guy's playing like he wants to audition for the Braves to acquire him, because this dude is becoming a Met killer. The next pitch is a strike right there, swing and a miss. Must be a slider down and inside. And the Mets fans, they're getting hyped up. You know, he's one strike away from preserving this victory and splitting the series. But this is a tough out. The 1-2 pitch is fouled off. Looks like he threw him the same pitch again, same location. This Winker guy, man, he's a tough out. It was two for three so far today with the big three-run home run, game-tying home run in the seventh. And it's raining outside in Queens, and Diaz is hoping to rain on the parade of his former ball club right here. So Diaz is set. The two, what was that? I'm trying to see the count. Yeah, he threw a fastball, but he missed him. The count is even 2-2. Threw him a 100-mile-per-hour fastball, but was up high. He didn't. The 2-2 pitch is fouled off. Man, that pitch looked like he made a mistake, but fortunately Winker fouled it off right here. Who do you think is going to win this game, Mac?
Well, the Mets. Of course, I think the Mets will hold on and win it.
Let's hope so. All right, this is the...
Don't you guys have two outs?
Yeah, 17 pitch. The 2-2 pitch is fouled off. Where is this ball? Is it foul? Oh, yeah, it's foul. It's a long drive, but it was sliced foul. Yeah, he fell. He fell on his knee. He fell on one knee to try to fall off that pitch, and he almost hit that ball out. Oh, my goodness. Typical Met game. You got to sweat out every potential win. 2-2 pitch is swung and a miss. He strikes him out. Put it in the books. The Mets win the game 5-4.
There you go.
Over, and against and a little icing on the cake. Jesse Winker, he looked like he's smiling, chewing his gum as he walked off the field. And the Mets, they've taken care of business. They split the series so far, and they look for tomorrow to get the rubber game and keep the winning streak intact, hopefully. Mazika, first start of the season since being called up, and he had a massive solo shot to give the Mets the solo shot that would prove to be the game winner for the Mets. The Mets win 5-4. So let's go, Mets. Let's see you know, hopefully they can hold on. Ottavino got the win. He improves to 2-1. Muniz falls to 1-1. Diaz got his 8th save and 9 chances. And Marte, man, this dude, him and Mazica should get the MVP award for this game right here. So props to the Mets as they keep rolling along. And they bounce back from that tough loss from yesterday where the hitters were just, I mean, they were, for the past couple of days, the Mets haven't been hitting that much. And yesterday was evident of that. So, you know, this is a good win. The Mets, you know, they bounced back after Shreve blew the lead. Pat Mazica, he gave the Mets the lead that they needed. So the Mets improve, and we'll see what happens tomorrow. Hopefully next week we'll be able to have some good news for the Mets fans. Let me see what else happened in AEW. Yeah, because they started the tournament already.
Tournament?
Yeah, they have a Owen Hart tournament.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that they also they nicknamed it the Owen. And Dr. Martha Hart was there in attendance also.
I thought you were going to say Martin Luther King.
What? Nah. You know, of course, I'm talking about, you know, his widow. Owen Hart's widow was there in attendance. This was like probably the first time ever you've seen her in a wrestling event, you know, because,
wow.
She distanced herself, you know, from wrestling, you know, before she did that, what was it, the Dark of the Ring, was it in that series from Vice, the Dark Side of the Ring series?
Yeah,
that was like the first time she finally shared her side of the story, because, you know, WWE was painting it like she hates wrestling and all that stuff, and, you know, she's keeping her, you know, his kids and the fans from, you know, having a chance to honor him and stuff like that. But from her side of the story, you know, she held WWE, you know, for his death being, you know, negligible, you know, with his safety. I think according to her in that series, I think she said they even sued her, you know, so... I mean, it was nice to see her in the arena, and you know, Owen Hart's gonna be in the next in the first ever AEW video game that's coming up, Fight Forever.
Wow.
So it's good to see Owen Hart is finally, you know, getting the tribute, you know, and you know, we'll see who wins that tournament. Let me see. What happened on Dynamite AEW? Adam Cole defeated Dax Harwood by making him submit. I think he might have even been to the sharpshooter, if I'm not mistaken, to advance in the you know, from the first round of the Owen Hart Foundation tournament. CM Punk defeated John Silver, to continue his feud with Hangman Adam Page, because CM Punk's going to battle against Hangman Adam Page for the AEW Championship at the Double or Nothing pay-per-view event. What was I going to say? Tony Nese defeated Danhausen. And then after that, Hook shook hands with Danhausen to bury their brief feud. Now they're aligned with each other. Ricky Starks defeated Jungle Boy to retain the FTW Championship. Tony Storm defeated Jamie Hayter to advance into the Owen Hart woman, part of the tournament. Jeff Hardy defeated Darby Allin to advance from the first round in the Owen Hart tournament. And then the Rampage one, let me see what happened there. Death Triangle, you know, that has, that's Pac, Pentagon Jr., Rey Fénix. They defeated The Butcher and the Blade and Mark Quinn from Andrade's faction. Sean Spears defeated Bear Boulder. Ruby Soho defeated Riho to advance in the women's version of the One Heart Tournament. What was I going to say? Chris Statlander replaced Hikaru Shida, who was supposed to be in the tournament. But last but not least, Scorpio Sky defeated his former SCU faction partner, Frankie Kazarian, to retain the TNT championship. So yeah, next week the tournament will continue until they have the All or Nothing pay per view event.
Nice.
Let me see when that tournament's gonna be there. I know it's gonna be late this month. Or should I say Double or Nothing? I'm saying All or Nothing. It's gonna be March 29th. That's when they're gonna have the finals of the Owen Hart's tournament, and they're gonna have Hangman Adam Page face CM Punk for the title. Thunder Rosa is going to defend her title against Serena Deeb, someone who CM Punk is familiar with from the Straight Edge Society. Hey, oh, that's kind of funny. Both Straight Edge Society members are fighting for the championship to try to win the championship.
Oh,
wow. I didn't even realize that until now. That's hilarious. But yeah, we'll see what happened when that match happens on March 29th. Or should I say May 29th? Yeah, I think that's about it. I think I covered everything. Don't think I left any stones unturned. Anything you'd like to say, Mac, before we head off?
Just check out my show, iMac. Check out your local listings for that. And come back here, check out Sports Over Legend every Saturdays at 11, only on Block Talk Radio.
Yep, you heard the man. Check out his show, iMac. Check your local listings for that. And, of course, check out my YouTube channel, Sports Over Legend TV. And then, of course, come back next week. Same bat channel, same bat station, a.k.a. Block Talk Radio. Every Saturday at 11, check us out. And we'll do what we always do. We'll talk sports and entertainment and everything else that's on our mind. So he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace.